The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
8 days until we learn exactly the contents therein. With me is Pat Crotty, who's the CEO of the VFI, the Vintners Federation of Ireland, and Tanya Ward, CEO of the Children's Rights Alliance. You're both very welcome. Tanya, what are the kind of primary concerns that the Children's Rights Alliance has that you would like addressed in Budget 2025?
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping with this year's budget that the government focuses on those children, all children, to be honest, where families are struggling with the cost of living, and then families who are really on the breadline, who can find it very hard to keep their head above water. So we're hoping the government goes for continues to invest in the big universal measures, which to date, to be honest, have been very successful and very popular. So free school books were extended to first, second and third year students last year. We're hoping the government goes the extra mile this year and extends to young people at post-primary level, secondary school, fifth and sixth year, which is actually very expensive, and it's usually the time actually when families are really struggling with costs. We're also hoping they extend hot school meals in the summer months, to be honest, and local communities. We're asking them to put $1 million into a pilot scheme, because what we're hearing back from organisations working with the most vulnerable children and young people is the summer months are torturous for families, really, because they might, the kids might be getting fed, they might be getting breakfast, might be getting lunch or dinner in school, but then in the summer months the families are in crisis.
And how would that be administered during the summer?
Well, you could do that. There's lots of local community groups that are running programmes for families. There's youth services running programmes as well. And actually, domestic violence refuges, we run schemes at Christmas and the summer months to see what's possible. And there's like a plethora of organisations willing to step in and help families going through that. But the other thing I think the government needs to do this year, and they haven't done it in previous years sufficiently, is focusing on families on the lowest incomes. They've tended to opt for bonus payments of child benefit, which of course they're very welcome, and
yeah,
they do help all families. But that hasn't been enough for families on very low incomes, particularly families, let's say, that will be on welfare payments. And we know from kind of independent research that's been done by SVP and the Vincentians that really just the last year they increased the payments by €4 per child per week. And essentially what that meant was these are families where they couldn't actually get to the end of the week. They couldn't keep milk in the fridge 2 or 3 days a week. And the cost would be like, I think particularly if you had a child at second level, you were going to be short about 30%. You wouldn't have enough money to get to the end
of the week. And I think it's a kind of a point always worth reiterating as well. When we've gone through a period of inflation, and particular grocery price inflation, none of us, me included, are not shocked when I get the bill, I get up to the counter and I have to pay it. But I'm lucky enough to have a decent job. The lower down you are on that kind of economic ladder, the more that grocery price increases in particular gobble up disposable income, don't they?
That's it. And I suppose, and I even feel, I'm on a CEO salary, and I even feel suddenly it's actually getting to the end of the month is a bit more challenging than it's been. But imagine if you have half or a quarter of the national income. The thing I think when it comes to income, what we've noticed, we did some polling with the public in July through Red Sea, and what was really interesting, and we didn't expect it, was we asked the public, should the government instead focus on increased targeted payments for families on welfare instead of increasing universal benefit? And about 62% agreed with that approach. What really struck me about it was the public obviously realises actually and senses it. It's not because families are mismanaging their money or they can't get a good, or it is probably because they can't get a good job.
Yeah.
But it's actually down to the cost of living, which is affecting everyone.
Pat Crotty, like I say, is with us as well, the CEO of the VFI, the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Pat, again, same question I kind of put to Tanya. What is the kind of the chief concern you would like to see addressed in Budget 25?
Thank you, Kieran, and thank you, Tanya. Kieran, the first thing we have is it's a question of survival. We came through COVID. It's history now. But after that, we had extraordinary inflation in all our inputs. Cost of food, cost of drink, cost of everything, cost of energy. And on none of those did we go to the government saying, please help us because we can't manage. We did manage because they're market forces, and there will always be market forces. But in the last year, from the VAT going up last September through to the minimum wage over the last two Januaries, we have just been hit with what is virtually the perfect storm, because we've had turnovers going down and costs driven by government going up. So we're asking government to help us to afford to pay the wages, to afford to keep the businesses open, and to afford to support the communities that we all come from. So our ask is for the hospitality rate to be reduced to the 9% that had become the norm, and that was basically priced into the price of every meal by every bar and restaurant that sold food. And secondly, for the pubs that don't sell food, for whom that is no help, we're asking that the excise duty be reduced. And there has been a submission made to them that they might consider reducing it by 7.5% this year and the same next year. So it's not a big hit on government coffers, but it helps all those businesses to keep their head, or maybe even just their nose, above water.
There's a possibility the government might announce that. There's a possibility that stick with the VAT rate as is, and they might increase minimum wage as well. What impact would that have on your members?
Well, Kieran, the minimum wage went up by 8% last year. It went up by 12.4% this year. And if it goes up by anything similar again, 8, 10, 12 next year, you're looking at a situation that over three Januaries, 25 months, the minimum wage will have gone up by 27%. That's not to say that those people don't deserve it and it isn't a good thing for society. What we're saying is that government never came to us and had a conversation to say, can you afford to do it? We're left in the position that you must do it because that is now the law. And we have no problem with the law, but then we cannot accept a law that actually puts us out of business. Nobody will get paid minimum wage or living wage if the businesses disappear. And our businesses are ones that are in every corner of the country, providing employment in places where there's maybe no other option in a lot of cases. And they're part of the fabric of communities. And indeed, it's policy of this government that they are, in fact, the hubs of communities. That's part of the pub is the hub has been a policy in rural development for the last 4 years. It hasn't delivered an awful lot yet, but at least it recognises it.
Are beyond kind of financial measures, and I accept that kind of budget 25 is all about financial measures, but are there kind of regulatory or licensing reforms, Pat, that might benefit your members?
That has been mentioned, Kieran, but the short answer is no, there's not. Because the proposed licensing changes are to, in fact, increase the number of hours that we could open. And that will suit some people, particularly in very large urbans. It will be a big help to them to try and make sense of their costs over a longer period instead of trying to do the turnover in a shorter time. But for the vast bulk of publicans, they're already looking at reduced hours. You'll see it in a lot of rural areas already. You're even seeing it in towns and large towns now that on Monday and Tuesday, you're not even sure who's open. Wednesday and Thursday is going to become like that. And you're going to be in the winter saying for visitors who fly in, don't bother flying in until Thursday morning because there isn't anything open. You're not going to get a meal anywhere except maybe in your hotel. And you're not going to get a drink anywhere or Irish music. So all the bits that are supported, the people who supply the food, the people who play the music, all the other things all suffer as well. It's all, again, dominoes.
Yeah. The juggling act government have then, Pat, is taking into account your concerns, but also the reality, again, that kind of people on the minimum wage are the people with the least disposable income. And the point we were making, myself and Tanya, that, you know, they're the people who most acutely feel any kind of increase in the cost of living. You know what I mean? They want to help both. And the obvious way to help that the latter group is to increase their salary, increase the minimum wage. But I don't think anybody would deny the reality of what you're saying either, that there's been massive input increases.
Yeah, and Kieran, the simple logic is that if government had a policy where it says we want to build a new school in your parish, the first thing they would come along and say, and here's the budget to do it. So there's no issue there. It will happen. In this case, the government comes along and says, we're going to increase the minimum wage. But there's no budget. They say, you're going to pay for it. And again, we have no problem playing our part in it, as long as the process of supporting government doesn't kill us. I mean, it's Turkey's voting for Christmas, in effect, if you take that analogy. It just cannot be done. And what about, it's not just about the minimum wage people. What about all the other people who are employed in a business that's just going to disappear?
Tanya, before I let you go, I just struck kind of reflecting on some of the asks that you mentioned as well. And comparing them to the school book scheme and things like the, you know, the overall health budget or the social, these massive, massive, but you know, multi-billion euro budgets. We're talking about kind of a 20 billion euro surplus this year, and that's the 14 billion euro kind of Apple tax thrown in on top of it. And things like the free school book scheme, I mean, they were very little money, really, in the grand scheme of things, that made a profound impact on people's lives. You don't have to break the bank to have a big impact in some households.
That's right. And that was essentially verified by lots of the different actors who were watching the space. So St. Vincent de Paul said less families came forward looking for help to them. The credit unions, they did their survey. They said families said actually that really did make a difference. You also heard from Zurich and Bernardo's, who were doing their own work with families on the cost of living. And they said the same thing, that that made a real difference. So these are things that we know work, to be honest. You know, north of the border, your school books are free. In most other countries in Europe, your school books are free. So these are very sensible measures. And they've been on, people have been asking them for about 20 years. Bernardo's have been asking them for about 20 years before the government eventually did it. And it is hugely popular. We did we commissioned Red Sea to do a poll in the summer months, and something like 89% of the public were really behind school books. And particularly if you're a parent, you really saw the benefit of it. But one thing I think is really important to remember is while the universal measures like that are really important, you have to focus on the targeted measures as well. And in the education space, for example, we know at the moment that DESH schools, about a quarter of our schools in the DESH are in the DESH programme. And that means that those schools have a bit of extra money to help with meals. They've got extra teachers. They've got extra supports available. There's lots of children in poverty. Nearly half of children in poverty are not in those DESH schools. They're outside the DESH scheme. And, you know, the Department of Education does need to introduce a fund to help schools working with those most vulnerable children. And today the government announced its new Equal Start programme, which is its early years DESH programme. There's about 621 settings that they identified where there's very vulnerable children. Look, this budget has to really invest into those services as well. Okay. It all the evidence, the shells of evidence about how working with small children living in poverty is the most important thing that you can do. These are children that will go on to do better in school, they get better jobs, get better houses and have better healthcare all along.
Tanya Ward, CEO of the Children's Rights Alliance. Pat Crotty, CEO of the VFI, the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.